Hello, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio.
Derek Prince Legacy Radio, a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries, bringing you the very best from the vast teaching archive of author and Bible teacher Derek Prince. Your guide to the Derek Prince legacy is New York Times best-selling author and speaker, Stephen Mansfield.
Great to have you with us here on this Tuesday edition of our show. You know, one of the great privileges of my life was writing the biography of Derek Prince. And I'll never forget the story that comes out of his life in the early 1940s about his encounter with Jesus Christ. This hard-drinking, cussing soldier had an encounter with Jesus Christ in the north of England that absolutely transformed him. He met Jesus, and he became a new creature and had a new beginning. And so in this teaching that he's doing, that Derek is doing for us, teaching us about a new beginning, he knows whereof he speaks. And it's sort of like the do-over we were talking about yesterday. When you know Jesus, when you encounter the resurrected Christ, you have a do-over in life. You have the opportunity for all things to become new. Well, that's what Derek's going to be teaching us about today. So get something to write with, call a friend, and let's all listen now as Derek teaches us about a new beginning.
Today, I'm going to share with you the key to the new beginning. I'm going to share with you how encountering the resurrected Christ produces a new creation. I think I need to say that again. Encountering the resurrected Christ produces a new creation. This is very clearly and beautifully stated by the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 through 17, where Paul writes this: "For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he, Christ, died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So, from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come." The translation I'm reading from, there's an exclamation mark at the end of that last statement. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. That's what we're speaking about, the new creation, which offers the possibility of a totally new beginning, because the old has gone and the new has come. Now, I need to explain one phrase there used in that translation. Paul says, "So, from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view." More literally, he says, we regard no one according to what he is in the flesh. That also may not be fully clear to all of you, but Paul is speaking about two different worlds. The world that we're all familiar with through our senses, what we would call this world, the world that we know in the flesh, in our body, through our physical senses. But Paul is drawing aside the veil that reveals another world, a world in the Spirit, a world which only God's Spirit can usher us into. And in this world, everyone who enters into it becomes, by that fact, a new creation. So, what he's picturing is stepping out of one order of life into a new order of life. The one is the familiar world of the senses that we all know. The second is a new world that's brought about by a creative act of God. And there's a line of separation between this world of the senses, which is the world in which we've all known defeat, failure, frustration, the world that, in a sense, holds us down and holds us back, the world that offers us good intentions, but never the ability fully to carry them out, and the other world, which is a new world, a world that is brought about by a creative act of God. And remember, there is only one person and one power that can create, and that is God himself. Now, the line of separation between these two worlds, and I want you to listen carefully now, is the death and resurrection of Christ. And so, in order to enter into this second new world of the Spirit, we have by faith to pass with Christ through death and resurrection in the Spirit into this new world. And the key to this, the moment at which the transformation takes place, the transformation and the transition, is the moment of personal encounter with Jesus Christ. And when we encounter Christ this way, it's not the historical Christ. It's not the Christ who walked the streets of Jerusalem or the trails beside the Sea of Galilee. It's not the Christ who was clothed in a certain dress appropriate to that culture and that age, and who spoke a certain language, probably Aramaic. For if we were to meet that Christ, unless we understood Aramaic or possibly Greek, we couldn't understand what he was saying. But the Christ that we now meet through the Holy Spirit is the eternal Christ, the eternal Son of God, uncreated, begotten, himself one with God the Father, divine in his nature, without beginning of days or end of life, the divine, eternal, unchanging Son of God. And the encounter with the eternal Christ comes only through the eternal Spirit. The eternal Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, reveals to the searching, longing, believing heart the eternal Son of God, the eternal Christ. And in that revelation, there comes the new creation. I just want to emphasize one more important point, which is negative but tremendously important. There is no substitute for this new creation. Nothing else can take its place. Nothing that can be done purely on a natural or human level. Let me say, no religious ordinance or ritual or act is a substitute for the new creation. Neither being baptized, nor being confirmed, nor joining the church, nor making vows, no matter what it may be, nothing can be a substitute for this new creation. There are millions and millions of people in the world today who have done one or more of these things, been baptized or confirmed or joined the church or whatever it may be, but they've never experienced the new creation. And without the new creation, all other things are inadequate and insufficient. I am not saying there is no value in these other things. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying there's value in them only if they produce the new creation. I believe it's very important for a Christian to be baptized. But being baptized is no substitute for the new creation. I've met many, many people who've been baptized by various different rites of baptism, but have never entered into the new creation. Now, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. So you can be baptized without being in Christ. You can join the church without being in Christ. But if you are in Christ, then you become a new creation. This is a supernatural transaction between you and Jesus Christ, person to person, made possible only by the Holy Spirit. And nothing else can ever be a substitute. So I want to ask, have you ever experienced that new creation? Do you know in your experience what it is to be made all over again, to have a totally new start through the personal revelation of Jesus Christ?
Boy, let's never forget that scripture that Derek just read to us, 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. You know, my definition of hell is to be in this life without any possibility of change, without any possibility of improvement. Thank God for Jesus, who makes us new creatures and sets us free from the limitations of this life. There's so much more to come as Derek Prince, Legacy Radio, continues.
What can a dog teach you about the Christian life? The surprising answer is quite a bit. In his CD teaching, Caleb, Lessons from a Dog's Life, Derek Prince explains how that Hebrew name, Caleb, literally means a dog. And he reveals some canine characteristics found in the biblical figure, Caleb, that positioned him to be used mightily by God. With it, you'll discover how to experience the flavor, victory, and blessing Caleb enjoyed for yourself. Call now to order your own copy of this insightful CD for only $6.95. 1-800-448-3261. That's 1-800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. There's never been a greater need for teaching like his. Caleb, Lessons from a Dog's Life. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or order securely when you visit us online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince, Legacy Radio. Glad you're joining us on this Tuesday. I'm Stephen Mansfield, and we have been listening to Derek teach us about a new beginning, a powerful teaching that we just began yesterday. So if you're just joining us, you can listen to everything you've missed at derekprince.org. And now Derek's going to take us into part two of this powerful teaching. So let's listen.
Today I'm going to speak further about the necessity of the new creation. And I'm going to illustrate this theme from the experience of one of the great men of God in the Old Testament, King David. Now, King David was a tremendous man of God. He's called in the scripture a man after God's own heart. He brought countless blessings to his people Israel, and through his psalms and the record of his life, he's brought countless blessings to unnumbered millions of people all over the earth. Since that time. But there was a moment in David's life when he made a terrible mistake. He committed a terrible sin. The sin was adultery. He took another man's wife. And then, in order to cover up that sin, he procured deliberately the death of that other man who was a soldier in his army. So he was guilty of both adultery and murder. For a while, David thought that he'd got away with it. I don't know how anybody could ever deceive himself, and yet many of us do, that somehow God doesn't know what we've done. God had to send a prophet to David named Nathan, who made it very, very clear to David that God knew all about what he had done, that there was nothing secret, nothing hidden from God, and that God held him accountable. And when David was confronted with this message from God through the prophet Nathan, he wrote one of his most moving and beautiful psalms, Psalm 51, which so beautifully describes the agony and the need of a human soul in such a situation that I'm going to read the first 10 verses, also the introduction. Listen carefully, please, as I read these words of David to you. First of all, the introduction. For the director of music, a psalm of David. Somehow impresses me that out of that terrible experience there came something that was beautiful and edifying that David could actually say was for the director of music or the choir director. It was to be a perpetual song for the people of Israel. For the director of music, a psalm of David. When the prophet Nathan came to him after David had committed adultery with Bathsheba. Now here is the psalm. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion. Blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. I wonder if there's someone listening of whom that's true right now. My sin is always before me. There's something I can never forget. Take courage, there is an answer. I'm going on reading. David speaks to the Lord. He says, against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are proved right when you speak and justified when you judge. Surely I have been a sinner from birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Surely you desire truth in the inner parts. You teach me wisdom in the inmost place. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. I want you to notice that last cry of David's heart. Create in me a pure heart, O God. That's the new creation. For the first time, perhaps, in his life, David was confronted with the full truth about his own spiritual condition. Up to that time, probably, he had never really understood the subtlety and the power of sin in his heart and life. And he'd been able to lead a life that was acceptable in the sight of God, but there was something lurking within him that suddenly sprung out in a moment of weakness and overpowered him and brought him to a condition of guilt and shame. And when David recognized his real condition, he also recognized his desperate need of four things, for all of which he was completely dependent upon God's mercy. And I just want to share with you these four things that David saw he needed. The first was washing and cleansing. In verse 2 he says, "Wash away all my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin." Verse 7 he says, "Cleanse me with hyssop and I will be clean. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow." He felt so defiled, so unclean, and he knew nothing he could do would cleanse him. Second, he saw his need for the record of his sin to be expunged forever. This is expressed in verses 1 and 9. Verse 1, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgression." And in verse 9, "Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquity." Suppose you knew that a videotape had been made of every instant incident in your life, and that sooner or later it was going to be played back to the entire universe. How would you feel about that? That's how David felt. He said, "Blot out all my iniquity. Erase that tape. Let me never be confronted with it again."
You know, thank God that we aren't just made new creatures when we first meet Jesus, but that God has the power to give us a new beginning when we make horrible messes of our life, like King David did with his adultery and his sin. I don't know about you, but I've certainly made some big messes in my life, and God has the power to come into my life and give me that new beginning. Now listen, Derek's going to have some closing thoughts on this as Derek Prince Legacy Radio continues.
Salvation. What does this familiar word really mean? The forgiveness of sins, the ticket to heaven. As wonderful as these definitions are, there is much more to salvation than most believers know. Now, in a powerful little booklet entitled Complete Salvation, Derek Prince reveals how the work Jesus did on the cross made a way for all to experience a great, glorious, and complete salvation. In it, you'll discover what salvation truly is and show you the steps you can take to receive and enjoy all of its benefits, both now and for eternity. To order your copy, Complete Salvation, free and postage paid, simply call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. The call and the booklet are both free. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or order your copy securely online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I hope you've been with us today as Derek Prince has been teaching us about a new beginning. Not just the new beginning that we have when we first become Christians, but the new beginning that God can give us when he redeems us from our mistakes and starts us over again. Derek was teaching us powerful truths from the life of King David. Now, if you've missed any of this, you can log on to our website at www.derekprince.org. You'll find all kinds of wonderful teaching and specifically the series that we're doing now on a new beginning. Let's listen now as Derek gives us some closing thoughts on this powerful topic.
The third thing that David saw that he needed was recreation, to be recreated by a sovereign act of God. This he expressed in verse 10, "Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." It's important to see that when we use the word create, we're speaking of something that only God could do. And David knew this was beyond his own ability or resources. He was totally shut up to what God could do for him. And then, fourthly, he saw his need of reconciliation with God. He had suddenly a glimpse of his own inner nature. And he saw, if I may use the phrase, that he had been born a rebel. This he expresses in verse 5. "Surely I have been a sinner from birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me." That's the very moment that his life began. And in view of the furore today about abortion, let's notice that the Bible says he had a nature that was sinful from the moment he was conceived. His life did not begin when he was born, but when he was conceived. That's the Bible's picture of that situation. Furthermore, he was a rebel even before he committed rebellious acts. He was a rebel by nature. He says, "I was a sinner from the moment that my mother conceived me, from my birth." In other words, he wasn't merely faced with the fact of his sinful acts, and especially of his adultery and his murder, but he was faced with the fact that he had a sinful nature, that he had a rebellious nature, and that he'd been a rebel, and he needed, as a rebel, reconciliation with God. And I want to tell you that there needs to come a moment in your life, as it came in mine, when you are confronted with this fact that you are a rebel by nature, that you've been a rebel from birth, for a rebel from conception, that you've led a rebellious life, that your attitudes have been rebellious, and that because of those rebellious attitudes, apart from your sinful acts, you need desperately to be reconciled with Almighty God, the Judge of the universe.
You know, I'm so moved by what Derek is teaching on today, and I'm keenly aware that it's easy to listen to a broadcast like this, listen to a program like this, and just hear it as sort of more Christian radio, just another guy teaching the word. But I have the strong sense today that there are people listening who need a new beginning in their lives. Perhaps you're a Christian and you've just made a mess. You've had an affair, you've blown it in your marriage, you've messed it up at work, you've blown it with your kids. We all do that kind of stuff. Or maybe you've never really come to Jesus. Maybe you really don't know who he is, but as Derek Prince has been teaching about a new life and the opportunity to be made whole and be a new creature, your heart yearns for that. You hunger for it. You sense that it's the life you were made for. I want you to know that over the next few days, we're going to be talking even more about this new beginning that God offers to us. And there's going to be some ministry time even as we get towards the end of the week. So be with us in this. And if you've missed any of it or if you want to listen to it again, log on to our website at derekprince.org. Well, listen, that's all the time we have for today. For everyone at Derek Prince Ministries, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Join us again tomorrow as the legacy continues.
Take a moment right now to order Derek's insightful audio CD, Caleb, Lessons from a Dog's Life, for only $6.95 when you call 1-800-448-3261. That's 1-800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. And don't forget to request your free copy of Derek's powerful little booklet, Complete Salvation. It's yours, free and postage paid, as our way of saying thank you for listening. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or in Canada, call 888-737-0771. And of course, you can order securely online at derekprince.org. Derek Prince Legacy Radio is a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries and produced in association with Audio Aviators. For more information about anything heard on today's program, visit us on the web at derekprince.org. That's derekprince.org.